Well, those songs were a blessing. Very, very much. Thank you for putting that effort in to that and blessing us, the congregation here tonight, with those words. God has been very good, giving us many things this week and giving us His Spirit, giving us tears today, giving us many deep things to think about. And Jesus did the same when He was on the earth. He met needs. He poured out blessings upon people. And it came to me that one thing that God is concerned about, that we don't waste His blessings. We should be concerned about that. Jesus performed the miracle there one time with bread, and after they had all eaten, he told His disciples to go and pick up the crumbs. They found 12 baskets of crumbs. And that should teach us something. That should make us concerned tonight that we don't lose the things that we heard. Jesus don't waste His blessings. But I'm sure you would be able to understand with me that we're leaky vessels, aren't we? We have already probably lost some of the burden that we had when God was pressing down upon our hearts today. And I'd like to lay that burden upon our heart tonight. And for those of you that weren't here today, think about all the things that you've heard in days gone by, and all the good desires that you had, good intentions. Did you follow through with them? And I'd like to lay that burden upon us tonight, that we could come again before God in prayer and say, somehow ask God to pick up the crumbs tonight, the things we heard, to gather them up, to lay hold of them, to go through with our commitments, to make sure that we do what we intended to do. For this we need God. We're too weak of ourselves. If we don't have God to help us pick up the crumbs tonight and again plant them deep into our hearts, we'll go home and not do the things that we so badly want to do. God, Brother Dale talked about relationships today. Fathers, relationships with their sons. I know that's very close to God's heart. God chose to speak out of heaven a few times, and I believe every time He did, I'm not sure, but I think every time He spoke out of heaven, He said, "This is my beloved Son." God loved His Son. And when Jesus prayed there in John 17, he looked to the something to the extent, looked forward to the time of being back with His Father and being in His presence and in His glory again. So brothers and sisters, we have a responsibility, first and foremost, to feel our need of God, that we not lose those things that we heard. And I have a message tonight on that, to that end. If you're here tonight and you were hoping I'd preach a salvation message and maybe give an altar call, I'm sorry. I'm going to turn a corner tonight. I'm not going to bring a salvation message. That doesn't mean that you can't respond to Jesus. There might be an altar call. I don't know yet. But we have a need of God to come and help us pick up the crumbs. And again, help us see that here we have 12 baskets of miracle food. It was God. Let's not take for granted Brother Dale up here preaching or trying to, with tears coming down his eye, his cheeks. Those things we heard, I believe, were from the heart of God. I wasn't in for some of the other sessions, and I'm sure they were good too. God does not waste His blessings. When His disciples were out there fishing and He told them to throw their nets on the other side, it makes a point that the net did not break. God wanted to bring every blessing into shore and not lose one of them. We need God to help us get our net to shore, to get our net to where it meets the need. I know many of you probably, you've been here before, and I've probably said it myself, I don't just want to go home and go back to the same thing. You need God. I need God. Or it'll be that. And I thank God He has a message for us tonight to that end. But I need God, and you need God, and we need God tonight to give His blessing. Who's going to pray? Who's going to feel the burden with me? Let's rise and pray. Make this place a house of prayer.
Evening, Lord, in the homes, Father, that we could bear witness of the goodness of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, we'd be kept by your power and your spirit. I ask you to bless Brother Elvin this evening, Lord, that he might inspire us, Lord, to in this walk, Lord. We ask that you would bind the devil in the power, in all his power, Lord. We ask you to bind him in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would render him powerless here this evening, Father. I pray, Father, that we could entrust our life to you, Lord. We know that we are kept by the power of God through faith. Lord, I ask you to increase our faith this evening, Lord, that without faith it is impossible to please you, Lord, and that you are a rewarder of those that diligently seek you, Father. I pray, Father, that our hearts would be after those things, that we would lay aside those weights of sin that want to easily beset us, Father, and run with patience the race that is set before us. Oh, God, help us, please. We come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. We pray in your name. Amen.
And the Holy Ghost, as we're knit together as a brotherhood, that you'd have free course to flow into our lives, that we might truly be a representation of God in unity in a larger scope, just like the home is a picture of Christ in the church. So the oneness in the brotherhood brings forth a greater picture of the oneness of God in the heaven. I pray, Father, that you would just work this in us and through us and glorify our Lord Jesus, that we be not fruitless vines, branches on the vine. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Jesus.
Yes, Lord, we cry out to you.
us here tonight, God. Lord, that we'll not just go home, Father, the same way that we came, God. Oh, Lord, I pray, Father God, just pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord. We need you, God. Our brother needs you tonight to bring the heart or the message, God, with your heart, Lord. We pray, God, touch our brother tonight, Father. Oh, Lord, I pray, do not pass us by, God. Do not pass us by, Lord, but work your work even tonight in our hearts. God, that we go home with a choice, that we choose, oh God, to do something about it, Lord, to make, oh God, to lay our work aside if that's what it takes, or whatever it might be, God. Lord, that we will not lose these things, Father, they would just kind of blow to the wind, but oh God, I pray, Father, help us, dear God, each and every one of us, Lord. And I do pray, Father, if there are souls here that are not saved, that do not know you, God, I pray, Lord, that you would break through to their hearts, oh God, that the gates of hell would not prevail, but oh God, that we could go in with the gospel, that the gospel of the Lord Jesus would go in and set these captives free, God. Oh Father, we thank you tonight, Lord. You're on the throne, God. And Father, man cannot do this, Lord. We need you, God. We plead with you tonight, Lord. Have mercy upon us as a people, God. We're your people, Lord. But, oh God, the enemies have laughed too often, Lord. And we pray tonight, God. Oh, Father, empower your people, Lord. Cleanse your people, God. Father, that we can be your people. Lord, that you will get glory, oh God, I pray. Father, have your way tonight. We look to thee. God, we look to you tonight, Lord. We ask these things. I ask these things in Jesus' name, God, and that you would receive glory. Hallelujah. May the Lamb that was slain receive glory tonight, God, I pray, in Jesus' name.
Lord, God, we have this moment. Yesterday is gone and tomorrow may never come. And God, here we are with the Word of God, gathered in the house of the Lord with many, many souls here. Father, we've heard many things and our hearts are challenged, God, and soft and full and staggering at some of the things we heard, Lord. And God, oh, God, we ask you to come and give the blessing, Lord. God, minister to the souls here tonight, Lord. You know every one of us individually. God, go in and out of the aisles, Lord, and into the pews, Father, with your Spirit tonight. Oh, God, and meet the needs, thou great physician. Oh, Spirit of the living God, come and visit us tonight, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that the flesh would be silent tonight, Lord. I pray, God, that the devil would be held back, Father. Oh, God, alone by your Spirit. Oh, God, I pray. I pray you'd release the Holy Ghost upon us tonight, Lord. God, be jealous over this group. Be jealous over us, God. There's many churches represented here tonight, Father. Be jealous over us, God. Be here with us, Lord. We know, God, that Satan is not pleased with what's going on here, God, but we trust in the living God. We thank you, God, for your keeping grace and power tonight, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we need you. We're leaky vessels, God. We're needy people. We know the desperately wickedness of our heart, God. How deceitful it is, Lord, and how wicked it is, God. We pray we do not trust in our own heart, Lord. But, oh, God, we trust in you, Lord, and in the new heart you've given us, God. And in the grace of God and the Word of God, Lord, we trust you. We lay our lives down, Lord. We take your Word. We take your Word, Father. We trust our souls upon your Word tonight. Heaven and earth will pass away one day, but your Word will remain forever. God, tonight We stand upon your word. We stand upon your promises, God. We have a need here, God, and you had a need, God, and you minister to that need, God, and I pray you'd minister to that need tonight, Lord, again. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Jesus, you are the altogether lovely one tonight. Thank God. Oh, beautiful Savior. Beautiful Savior. Come and love your people, God. Minister to us, Lord, tonight. Break down the middle walls of partition, God. Oh, Lord, rise up in our hearts, God. Become the lover of our souls, God. Oh, God, become that pearl of great price, Lord, tonight. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus, we lift you up. We lift you up, Jesus, tonight. Oh, God, be the bright and morning star in every dark corner of the heart, Lord. Be the sun. Be the light, oh, God. Jesus, be what we need tonight, Lord. Once again, we stand before your Father, trembling, God, tonight. Oh, God, Lord, would to God that we could see your glory upon your people in clearness, God, not in confusion, not with false fire, God, strange fire, Lord. Not with false doctrine, God, but in clearness, oh God, we pray. Our little children, Lord, they need to see Daddy serious about God, walking with God. Amen. Oh God, knowing what he believes, Lord, having a right relationship with God. Oh Lord, do that. Finish that work tonight, Lord, we pray. Finish it, Lord. Lord, we just... Oh, God, I don't want to make too many words in prayer, Lord, forgive me. Send your Spirit, Lord. It's not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So we ask you for your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Apart from all the babies crying, for just a few seconds, let's see how quiet we can make this place tonight. Amen. Let's sit here tonight in the fear of God. I'm not saying you shouldn't say amen. I want you to do that. You know, it's Jesus. I want to lift up Christ this evening again. The Bible says that daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Perhaps the reason that we're not seeing this is because we're not preaching enough of Jesus Christ. Daily in the temples and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And I mean all of Jesus. The Bible says we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jew a stumbling block and unto the Greek foolishness, but unto which, I think I missed a word, unto us or unto those which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And that is not some fluffy thing up here in the sky only. Yes, it may be a good feeling. He should give us joy. We should have our eyes on him. But he's also reality. Christ, the power of God to do what he said we should do. Christ is real. And he affects every area of our life. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." This Christ, "For ye know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." It's Christ looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the incomparable one. In his infancy, he startled a king. In his boyhood, he puzzled the doctors. In his manhood, he walked upon the billows and he hushed the sea to sleep. Christ. He healed the multitudes without medicine. He made no charge for his services. He never wrote a book, yet not all the libraries in all the country could hold all the books that could be written about him. He never wrote a song, yet he has furnished the theme for more songs than all songwriters combined. Christ. This Christ. He never founded a college, yet all the schools together cannot boast of as many students as he has. Great men have come and gone, yet he lives on. Death could not destroy him, and the grave could not hold him. What do you think of Christ? The Pharisees, with what would you reproach Jesus? "Ah, he eateth with publicans and sinners." And you, Caiaphas, what have you to say of him? "He is a blasphemer, because he said, hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." That's our Christ. "Pilate, what is your opinion?" "I find no fault in the man." "And you, Judas, what have you sold your master for silver? Who have sold your master for silver? Have you some fearful charge to hurl against him?" "I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood." "And you, centurion and soldiers who led him to the cross, what have you to say against him?" "Truly, he was the Son of God." "And you, demons, he is the Son of God." "John the Baptist, what do you think of Christ?" "Behold the Lamb of God." "And you, John the Apostle, he is the bright and morning star." "Peter, what say you of your master?" "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." "And you, Thomas, my Lord and my God." "Paul, you have persecuted him. What testify you against him?" "I count all things but loss for Christ. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." This is the Jesus we need. "Angels in heaven, what think ye of Jesus? Unto you is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And thou, Father in heaven, who knowest all things, this is my beloved Son. Hear him." Pick up the crumbs. Pick up the crumbs. How can we let the crumbs fall to the ground? Open your Bibles to John chapter 21 tonight. We've been together for four days, and we've heard many good things. But I want you to think with me tonight. In this chapter, we're going to see Jesus, having been together with his disciples for 3.5 years, and we're going to listen to almost his last words to his disciples. He was 3.5 years with them. He walked with them. He taught them. They heard a lot of things like you and I did this week. And I want you to put yourself in the disciples' shoes. Here they are. They walked with Jesus. They saw the miracles, all that he did, and walked close with him. And they saw his crucifixion, and they saw his burial. And they heard of they witnessed, you know, him after the resurrection. They saw him in his glorified state. And they heard him say things like, I'm going to go back to my Father. I've chosen you. I've called you. You walk with me. You're going to be the leaders of the New Testament church. And he was laying the responsibility upon his disciples like us men heard this week. And I know here they were. They were a bit confused. I know they didn't have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But my brothers, they walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. They saw something. Yes, they needed the Holy Ghost. But they had seen the Son of the living God. Some of them had heard the voice of God come out of heaven. Peter, James, and John saw him in his glorified body there on the Mount of Transfiguration. They heard the voice of God. And they were a bit confused at this point. And Jesus had, I think, showed himself twice to them. And this was the third time that we're going to see here tonight. And they had a burden upon their heart. They were feeling probably like some of us men. How's this going to work? What am I going to do? God impressed me today, but I know I've been there before. How can I go home? How can I take what I got? How can I take my bread and make it work at home? How can I bring my wife along? How can I bring my children along? How can we do it? And you know what I'm talking about? I'm sure that's how Peter felt. Jesus had told him, when thou art converted. He remembered these things. Excuse me. But he decides to go fishing. Let's read here from 1 to 14. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Not all the disciples were here. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, praise God. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. John told Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was the net not broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples, to his disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. I want to look at 4 points here. We'll look at the words of Jesus. He spoke 4 times here. I have 4 points. My first point is, children, have ye any meat? Children, have ye any meat? Children here is lads, a childling, an immature Christian. He speaks to them as unto his sons, with the care and the tenderness of a father. And even though he was now in his glorified body, he looks upon them with pity, knowing that they had toiled all night and caught nothing. He knew that. And here they were, his disciples. And perhaps he remembered his 3.5 years of walking with them. And perhaps he remembered that night long ago that he spent all night in prayer before choosing his disciples the next day. And there he was in communion with his father. And he said, Father said, Peter, John. I think that's kind of how it goes. He spent all night in prayer. And the next day he went out and called his disciples. And here they were toiling all night with nothing. And he pitied them. They were his children. He knew them. He knew their anxieties. He knew their fear of the future. These were his sons. And perhaps he remembered his prayer that he prayed there in John 17, where he prayed to his Father, of all these that thou gavest me, see, the Father gave them to him. Of all these that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none is lost. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition. Oh, he loves his disciples. I was so blessed as I thought about Jesus knew they were out there all night long. He just showed up in the morning. He had his eye on them. He had his eye on his children. On his lads. Toiling, fishing all night. Nothing. Day breaks and there he is. Jesus is standing on the shore. Like an earthly father who usually knows where his children are, I have a pretty good idea where my children are tonight. Somewhat. So Jesus knew where his children are. And he knew where they were. Very endearing term. Children. Children. Have you any meat? This question is a very dear question, a very kind question. It's not a condemning question or a criticizing question. Oh, so you didn't catch anything last night. You forgot to pray before you went. No, not Jesus. But he asked a question. This was not to make them feel like failures. But perhaps it was to show them that in all their endeavors, they need his blessing. And I want us to notice, it's a very important point. Do you have any meat? They simply answered, no. And I believe that was to their benefit. Maybe they could have said, well, where's the lunchbox? You know, what can we show? Do we have something to give to Jesus here? No, we have nothing. We've not got what we've been looking for, Jesus. Well, they didn't know it was Jesus yet. But they gave the man an honest answer, no. I want to make a point of that. Oh, the blessing of answering honestly where we're at. They were experienced fishermen. It could have been a bit hard on their pride to answer no. They didn't know if this man, I think it was common for them when they came back, people along the shore to buy their fish. And they could have just not answered at all and pretended they didn't hear him. But they answered no. And that was a tremendous blessing for them. How do you answer when Jesus asks you, have you any meat? Have you any fruit? Do you try to muster some up? Do you try and do something that you have to bring to Jesus when you know in your heart you have nothing? Well, it was to their great benefit that they answered no. Because what they got next was, cast your net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. He didn't embarrass them, but immediately offered them some fatherly advice. Now the next thing I want us to notice here is that they obeyed right away. That is kind of amazing because these were experienced fishermen. Now I'm sure they didn't have any modern gadgets that they could tell where the fish are, but they're not that dumb that, you know, fish aren't just from one side to the boat to the other. But somehow they obeyed right away. And they cast their net in on the other side of the ship. And consider with me tonight the results of that obedience. They cast their net in the other side. They cast therefore in verse 6. And now it looks like immediately they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. A couple things we want to consider is that one, they caught fish. Hallelujah. Two, they caught many fish. Three, and here's a very important one. It was revealed because they obeyed. It was revealed to them that it was the Lord speaking. Because they obeyed, it was revealed to them because it was a miracle. And John said, that's the Lord. And it happened because they obeyed. It happened because they obeyed. It pays to obey. I found out in my life that when God is asking me to do something and I don't do it, it seems the blessings stop till I go back there and do that thing that He's asking me to do. It paid them tremendously to obey. John 14:21 says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him. And I will what? Manifest myself to him. Have you ever wondered if your Bible is dry and there's no revelation coming from it to your heart? My friend, are you walking in obedience? If you're walking in obedience and you're saying no when you have nothing in your life and you're responding honestly to Christ's questions, this book will minister to you. This book is alive. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, obeys. He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him. And will manifest myself to him. Number four. Their obedience quickly brought them into full fellowship with Jesus. One leads to the next. They obey. Their needs are met. The Lord is manifested. They come to him. And the provisions are made for fellowship. Obedience is a blessing. And then, number three, the third thing Jesus said, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. What can we learn from this evening? Some of you came here this week a little like the disciples here. I know, because I've talked with some of you. With the attitude, I go fishing. I have a problem. I have a need. This thing is big. This thing is old. I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to fix my marriage. I don't know how I'm going to fix my relationship with my son. I don't know how I'm going to fix my relationship with my church. I don't know how I'm going to fix my relationship, my financial problem. That's how you came, with a big need, with a big burden. And you came here and you weren't sure because you've been here before and you haven't gotten what you were looking for. I want to tell you tonight, get out your basket and pick up the crumb. I wonder if you didn't lose it the other time. God's word never fails. If we lose the crumbs, we lose the blessing. If we let it go, we lose the blessing. You may feel like you've fished all night and you came up with nothing. But this week, you came here and God spoke to you. Some of you, praise God, were here and you found Jesus for the first time. Praise God. That's a blessing. Some of you, particularly us men, some of you, you sat here and light shone into your problem. God gave you something. I must do that. I want to do that. I will do that. Yes. Light shone into your problem. Some of you feel so refreshed, so charged up that at all the fishes you caught this week, you got a hold of something. Some of you feel that way. Here is Jesus. He's about ready to go to heaven. Turn the work over to his disciples. And he wants to teach them a lesson. And this is his lesson for us tonight. So you look at all the fish you caught. Like the disciples. Says they dragged them to the shore. And you're here tonight with all your fish that you caught. And you look at the distance between where you're at and where you know you need to go. And you got to drag your blessings home. And you're not sure how it's going to work. Because you tried it before. And it didn't change the situation. Oh, I have news for you tonight. They were dragging them to the shore. It was a struggle. It was hard work. You wonder, how am I going to do it? How am I going to take all that I heard this week and begin to apply the things that I heard to my real needs? How can I get my son's heart? I don't know how to communicate. I don't know where to start. We heard that today. I don't know how to do it. How can I do it? I want to give you a key tonight. I want to encourage you. If the thing you caught this week is of Jesus, and I believe it is, I believe that because there were tears here this morning where there's brokenness. Many men were blowing their nose and tears coming down over their cheeks. God was breaking hearts. And where brokenness is, God is. Don't lose the crumbs. Listen, Jesus didn't give you the fish for the fun of it. This, my friend, was not a pleasure fishing trip. We didn't go deep sea fishing to see who could catch the greatest. God gave you the fish you need. On the side of it, it might be written, humility, brokenness, confession, restitution. I don't know what it is, but God gave you the fish you need. Jesus cares. I'm here to tell us tonight, Jesus cares more about your marriage than you do. Am I right on that? I don't want to be wrong, but I think it is because your marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. And if it's on the rocks, and if it's broken, and if it's not what it should be, one, your prayers are hindered, but two, you're marring the beautiful picture of Christ. So I believe I'm right in saying Jesus cares more about your marriage than you do. And if He gave you a fish to fix it, don't lose that fish. Jesus cares more about your children than you do. As He looks at His blessed relationship with His Father, don't you think He wants every father and every son to have an exact same relationship as Him and the Father had? Can we shoot that high? I believe we should. Maybe it's humility. Maybe it's time with the Son is on the side of your fish. Jesus cares more about your church than you do. It's His bride. You have a burden for your church. You don't know how you're going to fix it. Well, I can tell you tonight, Jesus has a burden for your church too. It's His bride, and He wants to come back for one that is without spot and without wrinkle and without schisms and without, you know, fightings and divisions, all of that. And He gave you a fish, perhaps, to take home. I think Jesus even cares more about your finances than you do, because it's all His. And He's given them to you as a steward to use. And maybe some of you sit here and you made a mess of things and you're in debt and it's not a beautiful picture. I don't fault you for that, but I want to tell you, Jesus cares. Jesus cares. Brother, here's a very important point. With the things that you and I picked up today, I think this is what's either going to make or break it. Let's look at the attitude that these men had. Let's look at it in verse 12. None of the disciples durst ask Him, "Who art thou?" because they knew. It was holy ground. God was in that place. God was in that place. This was holy ground. Don't go home with your blessings like you would come home from a pleasure fishing trip. Look what I caught. I got the biggest. You know, look at this nice big fish. Don't go home like that. You're going home to holy ground. You're going home to home, 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 to home,